Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. This morning at the round table, mothers and daughters around the world. Literally around the world. The internet. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Sometimes we don't realize the blessings. The blessings are that we are so blessed to be able to communicate the way that we communicate. So, good morning, good morning, good morning. And as I say to all, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to get up on Saturday mornings and be able to allow the Lord to use us for his kingdom and to share a word. We're here just to share a word to mothers and daughters. I want to make sure that we are on. Have someone calling me this morning. Let me just check the record and see. Okay, it was an error. So we're good to go. Want to make sure. We want to make sure everybody can get on. You know, in the morning sometimes we get up and the internet works fine, and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends upon, I guess, the way the waves and everything is going. Okay, so now I see we are moving. Let's get going here to first and foremost, before we get too far gone, let's give thanks to God. Father God, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for watching over us. And Father, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you for loving me more. Thank you for loving me more. Out of all the things I think that I see and understand, I know there are greater things that are happening around me that you're protecting me from, each and every one of us. And for that, I just want to say thank you for loving me more. This morning I ask that you touch every mother and daughter around the world, touch their relationship by renewing their minds. Father God, we pray for a renewed mind, because if the mind is not renewed, there'll be no change in the body. So that's our mission, Father. It's just to pray for a renewed mind, a mind of love, a mind that will want to do good, want to be more like Christ, that we, as we grow and move on our journeys, that we pick up wisdom and understanding, and then become a doer of those words, and not just hear them, but get them and understand them, so that we can pass on the wisdom to the younger girls, and they become strong women and mothers, and of course, each of them being a daughter, being able to pass down wisdom to the next generation. And Father God, I thank you for choosing us this morning to sit at the round table to talk on your behalf. And I release myself to the Holy Spirit that we will listen and hear and say only what you ask us to say, and take none of Bessie into this program today, just all of you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, because sometimes we can get so caught up, not even realizing it, just get caught up and want to give our opinion. I tell you one thing, I've learned over the last few weeks, it's getting more and more clear to me, you know, it's only one opinion. You know, you think you're doing and you think, well, that's the way of the world. You know, I'm supposed to plan. I'm supposed to develop. I'm supposed to do, you know, you got to do something. You know, I can hear you right now. That's what do you mean? Don't do anything. You've got to do something. Just listen to what the Lord says, and do, and as Jesus said, I only say and do what he says. That's why Jesus was able to do the things that he did, because you too, he said, can do the same thing. What do you think he meant by that? He said, you can do the same thing I've done and even greater things. And greater things means that time progressing, things happening, you know, modern technology, the internet, these are things that was not in his time frame, but he's telling you even greater things, meaning we have a easier method to fly someplace as opposed to walking. But we could do those things. But in order to accomplish the things that Jesus accomplished, he had permission. He had the authority. He didn't do it on his own. He says, okay, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to say. Whatever he tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Because he knows the power is already in there. The permission is already in there. It's like, mothers, when you tell your daughter, no, you can't go to this event. You can't go to the party. Well, she may try to just change her, buck you and says, you know, I'm going anyway. I'll sneak out or whatever. But there's consequences behind that. It's not going to turn out good. Trust me, anytime you go against parental permission, it's not going to turn out good. You may think you've gotten by with it. You may think so. It may go by a few years, but it come back because what you're doing, you've just, if a young lady goes out, sneak out, and a mother told her no, and she thinks she's gotten by with it, 35 years old, and said, you know what? My mother never found out that I snuck out that night and went to the party. But see, you're living with that. So then what it did, it created this sense of, that's because you're talking about the mind. In her mind, if I got over on my mother, I can get over on somebody else. Now we're building a trait. We're building, a pattern that we want to model things after. I can be slick. Nobody will find out. But see, over the years, it's going to eventually catch up with you. So Jesus didn't want to do that. He was not going to go outside of the Father. If the Father says, do this, get some dirt, and rub it on the man's eye, and he will see. He got some dirt. He spit on it, rub it in the man's eye. The man saw. He's okay. This works every time I get the message and I follow the instruction. That's what you call a doer of the word. So, mothers, when we become a doer of the word, then we get the end result. But somewhere along the line, there's an intra-conversation going on. And inside your head, there's an intra-conversation. That's the challenge. That's where the temptation come on. And God allow that. He allow you to be entertained with other conversations. He'll tell you if you ask his opinion, his suggestion. You do it my way, choose life or death. Which one? Okay, you choose my way, I got you. It's not going to come back to get you. I got you. I'm going to protect you. The end is going to be good. No matter what it is, the end is going to be good. But if you do it your way, the end is not going to be good because you can't see that far. Even with raising your daughters, you cannot see the end. You can't see her 5 years, 10 years up the road. You can only imagine what you think in your head. It's not the reality. Only God knows the beginning to the end. So we need to do what? Consult the Creator, the person that created me and my daughter. That's how we're going to get the good. That's how we eat the good of the land. That's how we are saved from so many experiences that we could experience had we not come in and committed ourselves to the kingdom of God and accept Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. for loving me more. See? I look back at some of the things that has happened over the past few years in my life. And as I tell you on Saturday morning, it's my lessons that I'm being taught. I'm just sharing those with you. But I let you know I'm not trying to be in a place where it looked like I'm an authority and I've made it and I got a closer connection to God than you and, all this crazy stuff that people may think. No. God's got to use somebody. He's using you, too, if you're asking the question. If you just don't say, what do you want me to do, Lord? He'll tell you, he'll give you an assignment. There's a purpose for your life. This is a part of my purpose. This is a part of my journey. It's a part of my lesson. And hopefully I graduate one day. And he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because that's all I'm trying to do now is be a good and faithful servant. We've all gone through, and it's still a challenge. We're all going to be challenged. It doesn't mean that I'm not challenged every day. There's something, the enemy is out here. And that's why he said, I got you. You don't have to worry about it. As long as you stay within the light, I got you. But we can't go back and forth. One day we're loving the Lord and working for the Lord, and the next day we are here doing what we think. It's just what the world's doing, so it's okay. I can follow the world. But when I go to church or if the world beat me up a little bit too much, I'll run back into the Father's house and beg for forgiveness and declare I won't do it again. Lord, if you just help me through this, Lord, I declare I won't do it again. How many times have we said that? Comes a time when you have to go in and say, you know what, that's it. Every time I come in, I'm safe. And then once you feel safe for a while, then all of a sudden the conversations will start and you inch out and you start living back into the worldly things. That's the challenge of life. Why do I say that? I say that because, when you're talking about raising a daughter, it's not an easy thing to do because you're raising someone that's just like you. You're raising someone that pretty much look like you, act like you, have a lot of your ways. That takes us back to Ezekiel 16:44. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Now, that came from the father. And it's true. There's no debate about it. So as you are mother, so will be your daughter. You're the role model. He's looking at you. God said it, and I believe it. So then that takes us down to our topic for today. Our stimulating topic this morning is intimacy in the mother and daughter relationship. Yeah, I said it, intimacy in the mother and daughter relationship. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. And we are talking about intimacy in the mother and daughter relationship. If you want to get in contact with me, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1@gmail.com. And I will get back in touch with you. Okay, I want to thank my co-host this morning, Cynthia Oliver, who's always at the round table. And I'm asking everybody out there to just send Cynthia some love. Pray for her son, Keith. He's experiencing a new chapter in his life, and God is with him, and we just sending nothing but love to Keith this morning, peace and victory. We know that. So love you, Keith. All right, let's see what else we are doing today. I have no control over this thing. I started off, and the Holy Spirit just started talking. That was not what's on my little list. That's why I say I can't have a list. I have to kind of just let go and let God, because that message went before we talked about a stimulating topic for last week, the word of a mother and the word of God. And we talked a little bit about that last week because the word contains love all that we need to do is to think of that four-letter word, love. Not in the common sense of what we are normally taught from the world, love, you know, but from the agape, from the godly perspective of love, or understanding, a meaning. Love. Inside of love, we have patience, we have forgiveness, we have understanding, we have wisdom. You know, it's a combination of all things in that one word, love. And if we get that, we don't have to make ourselves do right. Once you get it inside of your spirit, you're going to do right. Even sometimes when mothers, you want to just go back into some of your old ways, especially some of your cursing mothers. I used to be one of them. Stuff just flying out of your mouth. You can't even do that stuff anymore once you've committed to Christ and have fallen in love with Christ. You cannot. I mean, it just doesn't even come up. And I used to be pretty good at it. Not proud of it, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad. I just thank God. That's why I said, God, I thank you for loving me more. Because some of the things and the way that I snapped off, someone could have killed me. You know, but God loved me more. And when I think about that, it just, something hits my spirit. Places I've been, things I've done, things I've said, God loved me more. I always had the communication. I thank God for that. I had my sister to talk to him, come to him. I was always running back to him. And he loved me more. He had boundaries out there. He had fences around me. He would not let certain things come near my dwelling because he loved me more. And when we get that and get into that arena of that kind of love, to love our daughters more. But how can you love your daughter more when you don't love yourself? It starts with you, mother. It starts with you. See, you got to really empty yourself of all that shame and guilt that you have on the inside. You won't give it up. You took it to the Lord and you said, I left it there, and you really didn't. And the enemy knew you didn't. You told him about it, but you didn't really leave it. You dumped off about 95% of it. You thought, I've given it all. But there's a little trace of it lingering deep down inside your heart. And that's all the enemy needs, is that little trace. And by the time he finished with it, you're back up to 100%. Shame, you're embarrassed, you don't think you're worthy, you think people looking at you cross-eyed, they talking about you, because you haven't forgiven yourself. Once you truly take it, give it to the Lord, and forgive yourself, truly, and you're free from it, you don't think about what other people say. Because now you're working out of love. And you're thinking loving thoughts. And you're seeing loving things. And you're feeling loving things. And all of this generates an energy flow to your daughter. She sees you loving. She wants to be loving. She's feeling you. You feeling her. And that takes us to our topic this morning, because as children, we go by feelings, or they go by feelings. And then as adults, we do the same thing. We go by feelings. We go by how we feel when we're around certain people, because then We go by what they say, their actions. A person really don't have to speak the words out for you to feel the spirit of them. And I give an example of that. You can walk into a room, and there's a group of people. And the moment you walk in, if they say something about you, that energy just automatically attaches itself to your spirit. You feel it. You know it. You can't prove it. And if you ask, they will deny it. How many people you say, well, you're all talking about me when I walked in? Girl, no. Who's talking about you? They look at you like you're crazy. They'll lie in a minute. Who's talking about you? I'm talking about you. We got better things to do. That's when you know the line, because it just extends it out, you know, into this big dialogue of convincing you we were not talking about you. But yet you knew what you felt. And you can't prove it. You cannot get someone to say yes. How many times have you seen somebody walk up and say, well, you are talking about me, and I walk in, and somebody says, yeah, we were talking about you. We were talking about this, that, and that. Never happened. Unless it's one of those rare occasions when somebody really just ready to beat you down or want to go there. But most times they'll just say, nah, because they know they did. So we work on feelings. That's how we determine. And see, the words that they said, even if it's just mental, it still, well, transfer its energy onto you if it's about you. You can believe that. That's what God has given us. That's a built-in antenna. It's what I call it. That picks up on things when people are pulling against your spirit and your energy. When we're talking about feelings and we're talking about words generating those feelings, whether they're verbal or not, it has the same power. That's why we call it the intra-conversation, because it's an inward conversation. It's a conversation within your head that you are having. It is powerful. But what's even more powerful than that, because see, the intra-conversation is just a conversation between the good and the bad. Do this. This is the right thing to do. Yeah, but do it this way. Because see, the enemy wants you to say, this is the right thing. You will get more pleasure out of it. If you do it that way, people are going to think this and la 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 la, and you're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, that intro conversation, and then all of a sudden you just go, oh, you put your hands on your head, your forehead, and you're beating yourself. Driving me insane. Because what the enemy knows is if you could say those words for me, you will give me a key to open the door. So what's even more powerful is when you speak the word, because when you speak it, it enters into the universe and it will create. Like a bullet, you can't take it back. Can't take it back. So that's why we have to be very careful when we're talking to our daughters and our mothers, we or anyone. But just keep in mind, audience, for the new people that's coming on, we are talking about mother and daughter relationships. You take the same information that we are outlining within the mother and daughter relationship, and you can apply to any relationship, any coworkers, family, friends, sons, husbands, boyfriends, strangers. Because what we're talking about is working out of love. Meaning that you're going to treat people like you want to be treated. You know, on the inside. And that's why we have a lot of mothers and daughters out there with high blood pressure, overweight, sugar, diabetes, cancer. These are the things that develop when you have that hidden secret on the inside. Stress from those thoughts tears down the organs. That's why every day we got to get up, talk to the Lord, got to dump this stuff off, stuff come up every day. See, it's not like, you know, you go, it's just, I'm emptying myself today. Okay, well, that's good. Well, by tomorrow, you got some more stuff. You need to go back again. So it's a constant flow, daily, all day long, really, for me. Carrying things and talking and trying to, not trying, getting in to grace and mercy. Thanking God for grace and mercy in all that I do today. So that brings us to the intimacy of the mother and daughter relationship. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about not the relationship that most people think of. When you say intimacy, you know, most people think of an old boyfriend, someone that I used to hang out with. I was in love. How many times have I heard people say, man, did I love that man? I was crazy about that man. Every time he turned, I was there. I just could not get enough of him. It just, the closeness, we were so close. We did all kinds of stuff. But, of course, they're talking about was. So, you know, was it intimacy or was it something else? Or you would talk about how close you were in the relationship. See, that's the world impression of intimacy. In a love relationship, male, female. Can you just stop and think, using that word intimacy in the context of a relationship with you and your daughter? In the thought of closeness of in your mother and daughter relationship. Think about that just for a moment. Intimacy in your mother and daughter relationship. Because, see, in most cases, like I said, the first thing come up, male-female relationship, intimacy. And that reminds you of being in love. Man, I was in love with that. Most of you know me, know I would probably use another word, but you know, I was in love with him. Intimacy. We had intimacy. We were closeness we shared. Getting to know each other. Getting familiar with the do's and don'ts of the relationship. Growing in confidence. Really loved me. You know, that was it. What about using those same thoughts in your mother and daughter relationship? See, the human body craves connectiveness from another body, from another human body. We want to be connected. We want to be connected, and we think that we have to be connected to male. Of course, God created man and woman. That's another show. But what we want to talk about, it's the intimacy and what it really means, the closeness and familiarity of the relationship. Because in most cases, when people don't have that human connection, they think, or they feel like they're alone. They feel like they're cut off from other humans. A lot of people shut themselves off. They go into depression. They say, people don't understand me. They don't know me. Therefore, I'm not good enough. But is it someone else or is it something that you're dealing with? Takes you right back to those hidden secrets. You're still carrying that stuff. You got to let it go. Because your daughter is seeing the outward actions of your inward, the hell that you're fighting on the inside of you in that intro conversation. All she sees is the outside because you're not telling her the truth. You're not telling anybody what you're really thinking, how you really feel. Mama, you okay? Yes, I'm fine, baby. Everything is good. We think that's the answer. Better left alone that she doesn't know that I feel dirty. I feel unclean. I feel unwanted. I feel like nobody wants me. Dr. Fletcher, why are you using all these negatives today, telling me to say it's for someone, and it's definitely a lesson for me. I'm just sharing it with you. So therefore, when you feel lonely and disconnected, think about the people that's closest to you. Think about the intimacy that you can share with the people that are close to you, preferably your mother and daughter relationship. The relationship with the mother and daughter, you know, when I think about that, I think about the mother and daughter saying, and I want you to just take a moment and think about intimacy, and I'm going to throw a few thoughts out there just for you to think on. I want you to think, when I hear the word intimacy, I think of my relationship with my daughter or my mother, because. Then we're going to switch it. We're coming out from the world. We're coming on the inside. Now go inside of you and say those words. When I think of my relationship with my mother or my daughter, because. Because we are familiar with each other. The intimacy means that you are familiar with each other. Intimacy means that you are very close to each other. My mother and daughter relationship, we're very close. Or we understand the role, our roles in our mother and daughter relationship. Because there are boundaries. Just because you're the mother doesn't make you right all the time. Or the daughter that makes you right all the time. There are boundaries, there are roles, and that's something that each mother and daughter have to define. No one else can do that for you. Even though I'm facilitating mother and daughter relationships and mother and daughter radio, television, or whatever, I cannot design your mother-daughter relationship. I can just allow the Spirit to speak through me to sort of just kind of give you a little hint or help you with a thought that will develop into a closeness. And the other is, when I think of intimacy in my mother and daughter relationship, I think that we have confidence in each other. I can depend on my daughter. My daughter can depend on me. I'm confident that she's not going to do this, this, that, and the other. Now, that's intimacy within a mother and daughter relationship. And what came to my mind when I was speaking, I was thinking about my own daughter. I know that I could fall backwards and have confidence that my daughter would catch me. Can you stand in front of your daughter, close your eyes, and fall backward? It's a hard thing to do. But in my mind, I believe my daughter would catch me. There's no doubt in my mind that she would not catch me. We have got to have enough confidence in each other. Doesn't mean that we're perfect beings. It's just that we like each other enough to love each other. So you got to like somebody before you can love them. And we like each other enough to love each other. We're familiar with each other. We buy clothes. I'm in Florida. She's in North Carolina. We buy the same thing. I mean, down to the bed sheet. I'm telling you, it's amazing. My grandson said, how in the world do you all do that? I don't know. Have no idea. I'm talking about the same print, the same color. I'm like, those are my sheets. Somehow or another, if you think about it, what God says, as is the mother, so is the daughter, doesn't mean you got to be right in front of her for her to know some of the things you're doing. It's a spiritual thing. Remember, we're spiritual beings. That closeness that we have it because we work on it. I make sure I call her. She makes sure she calls me. We make sure we make each other laugh, you know, and share little things that happen during the day. It just helps us to go through or be strong to go through the things that hit us in the middle of the day. Something hit her, she'll call me. We talk about it, pray on it. Something hit me, I call her. We talk about it, pray on it. Because we love each other. So how does those statements measure up in your mother and daughter relationship? Look at your relationship. What do you need to do to experience your best mother and daughter relationship? Now, someone says to me, like as people have asked me in the past, they think, well, because you're doing mother and daughter relationships and you're a Christian clinical psychologist and specialize in mother and daughter relationship, you've got to be the expert on it. Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I go to the Lord, even for my clients. I pray and I ask the Lord to tell me what I need to do. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? What are we doing here? I do mother and daughter workshops. I pray before I do them. People say, wow, I don't understand it. You see a transformation right in front of your eyes. Not me. It's the Spirit working through me. So don't sit back and think, well, Dr. Fletcher is this and this. No, we all have to go to the source, and the source is Jesus. And you have the same source I have if you take it. I just chose to take it. He said, choose life or death. I got tired of choosing death. I got tired of being on the rough side of the mountain. Let me just choose life, and let me just keep my little self right over on this side because there's peace over here. There's joy over here. Even when everything in the world is going crazy around you, if you choose life, you can look because you can sit in the eye of the storm and feel a peace. But sometimes you say, wow, this is so nice. Because it's beyond you. So when you look at your mother and daughter relationship, don't look at what's happening around it. Get into the center of the eye of the storm, which is love. Center yourself inside of that. You will say, you will do, you will act in a spirit that even with the roughest relationship, as is the mother, so is her daughter. If you're in the eye of love, if you're saying the right thing, being the right thing, doing the right thing according to the light that you know, then that daughter's going to do that. And if that doesn't happen, then God is a liar. And we know God is not a liar. So as is the mother, so is the daughter. So it says to me that the mother has to do something first. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Not as is the daughter, so it's a mother. So when you think, Dr. Fletcher, you're always talking about the mothers. Yes. God said it. He chose the mother first. It's the mother, then the daughter. This is not my creation. I'm just a worker here in the kingdom, and I get an assignment, and I got to do according to what I'm told. As is the mother, so is the daughter. If the mother lives in the spirit of love and settle herself in the eye and become a doer of the word, not a talker, a doer, actually doing as the word says, then the result is, as is the mother, so is her daughter. How does those statements measure up in your mother and daughter relationship? Think about that. Think about it. All right, I'm opening up the lines this morning. Good morning. Anyone want to conversate with me? Click one. Be more than glad to get your opinion. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Pretty good. Some noise in the back with your car.
Okay. Well, you always know when I'm moving around. I'm always moving around. You know that. I'm busy bee. But interesting conversation. And when you said the mother come first, I thought about the Holy Spirit allowed me to which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Even though the mother has to be born, she is first in that relationship. So God is holding us responsible. You're always talking about mothers because mothers are the responsible being for that life of that daughter. So I mean to rise up to where God will have us to be as mothers. We're going to have to transform that mind that you talked about because we have too been hurt in our lives, and hurting people hurt people. And so now mothers have a responsibility to seek help for their woes. 100%, they're 100% responsible for seeking help for their woes in order that they can be the best mother that they can be for those daughters. And that relationship will never fix itself in the absence of effort. It's going to take some effort on both parts. But sometimes the daughter is so hurt by the mother in the absence of being there emotionally or physically, you know, it's very, very difficult. And you said it's difficult. It is difficult to have the relationship that you desire with your mother because you look around, you see other mothers and daughters, and you want your mother and daughter relationship that resembles that. But guess what? Every mother and daughter has its own relationship. And the mother is all that she is, whether she have done what she needs to do or haven't done what she needs to do, but that doesn't give her some jail. She is responsible for rising up to be the mother that she can be to that daughter. And I don't care if she's grown. She still needs her mother.
That is true.
And so when we walk around making excuses why we don't have the relationship we want and we find ourselves distant from our children, sometimes the daughter end up doing it. Because I know that if I had not taken the effort that I took to build the relationship with my mother, I wouldn't have had a relationship with her prior to her dying. But somebody got to rise up.
That's right. It can't. Everybody do the same thing and expect a different result. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen.
It is not going to happen because nobody wants to do the work, and it takes work to build relationships. And even if somebody don't want to do it, sometimes they don't have the know-how to do it. They have a desire to do it, but they're not willing to do the work in order that everything falls into place. Because I know, Dr. Fletcher, God will redeem the years that you lost. You know that he will redeem those years if you just do your part.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you say that, Cynthia, it reminds me, I've heard that. We hear that so often. You know, I'll redeem the time. And I used to think, especially when I was young, I was like, redeem the time? How do you redeem the time? You're going to turn it back? But it's something, and your case is a good case to use. You know, 40-some years not knowing your mother, and then in 2 years you got to do just about everything through her words and through her stories and, you know, just laying down with her back at that time. But you got to just kind of, it's a capsule, 40-some years in 2 years.
God redeemed the time. I was taken from my mother when I was 17 months old, and I got to lay in bed with my mom for 2 years. Because, you know, when you're 17 months old, you still cuddle with your mom. And so I got to lay in bed with my mom for 2 years. So the time was redeemed, the time that I lost with my mother.
And what she means by laying in the bed with her mother was sick. So she'd go and cuddle up with her mother. Just for the audience, you know, she'd go cuddle up and laugh and talk and discover her mother was really kind of witty and funny. And, you know, of course, I got to know her, too, and just saw the person that she never knew. So it is amazing. Anyone else want to add a comment, please click one. We're trying to make it a show that everybody can say something, but Cynthia and I have to keep it moving. We'd love to hear your comments. So, yes, it is a a situation when I was talking this morning, and the Lord was talking to me about intimacy. He said, you know, so many times a mother never really looked at the intimacy that's between her and her daughter. See, when you're carrying that child, it's an intimacy that surpasses anything else before that child even hits the earth. So that intimacy is still there, that connectiveness, that in-tuneness. It's the fact that you are connected in a way that is impossible to unconnect. So when God said, as is the mother, so is the daughter, it's one. We are one. That's why I feel like when you got in that bed and when you were talking to your mother, it came back fast, because there was never really a disconnect. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it makes sense. I truly had intimacy with my mother, holding her hands, laying there laughing with her, watching the silly TV shows that she watched, but that's what she liked to watch. And then she was critically ill by that point, so lying there having the TV in the background noise and all of the craziness that goes on the TV, we were laughing. I had that intimacy with my mom. I really did. And like you said, when we picked up right where we left off, there wasn't a beat. There wasn't a skip. Nothing was skipped. I promise you that all of the years that I was separated from my mother, in 2 years, I was able to bond with my mother. And that's what it is. It's a bond that we have with our daughter, with our children, that it is, even though you may be separated physically, that bond is never separated, because God gave her to you.
Mm-hmm. And a prime example of that, too, is that it's like the prodigal son. It works in both male and female. When something happens, you better believe the first place of child is going to run to to their mother. I don't care what happens. They can be all big and bad, acting all out, do whatever they want to do, but they know it's safe when you get to that mother. They know that. And most people, when they run, you let somebody get sick and in the hospital, and the doctor say you are not complete until that mother walk in that room. When that mother walks in that room, it's like it's all said and done. You know. It's just that connectedness that it just, and I keep using that word because that's the word the Lord gave me this morning, it's just there. It's there. And sometimes the world will make you think it's not there, but deep down inside of that love capsule that comes in each of us, each one of us has this little capsule of love inside of us called the Holy Spirit. It's just up to you to break it. It's there. God didn't send you without it. Now, you can let it sit there in a capsule form, closed up, or you can crack it and get the fullness thereof. But you can only do that through Jesus. And they know. See, that capsule still, even though it has, it's closed in the form of a capsule. I'm just using this. It's just my own thoughts now. When I say my own thoughts, it's just coming through my spirit as I'm speaking. It's just like radiation from that penetrates through your body and through your mind that lets you know when you're right and wrong, because even though you don't get the fullness thereof, you get the radiation of it, the flavor of it, because something in you will say, whether you are a Christian, you've been saved or not, something in you will tell you right from wrong. And when you know, you feel that, you're going against the grain. But sometimes we have to hit the brick wall in order to break the capsule, in order to come. And we've all done that, because something usually happens in order for us to come to Jesus. Something happens. So what I'm saying to you is, don't let something dramatically happen to bring you to your mother and, to your need for your mother and daughter relationship. And I'm saying that because I was listening to a mother this past week. She and her daughter has been going through. And, you know, of course, you've heard me say this a couple of times. The mother says, she just needs to apologize to me. And I mean, she's adamant about this thing.
she needs to apologize to me. And I'm like, why does she have to apologize to you? Why can't you apologize to her and do the lead since you're the mother? Well, she owes me an apology. And that may be true, because I never really gotten to, she never told me what happened. She just keeps alluding to the fact that she needs to apologize to me. And so the daughter started doing little things to get a little closer. And at first she's keeping the granddaughter away from her mother, because she knew that would really get to her heart. And so, you know, daughters will do whatever they do with their children, because I'm the mother now and I'm in control of this child. So therefore, you know, you can't really control my child. I have the power and authority, which is going to get to your heart because you want to spend time with the granddaughter. So I'm saying to her, now really, who's hurting here? You, your daughter, or the granddaughter? And it's the granddaughter who's very sharp and smart, and, you know, she's familiar and want to know why they are going through what they're going through. So the daughter's getting to be a little nicer, coming around, let the daughter start coming a little bit, and then she started coming a little bit for dinner, and she says, yes, but still has not apologized to me. You know, she can talk all she wants, but she still has not apologized. And I cannot get her to see, it's okay. Can you just do that and open it up? You're the mother. Why are you just, you won't allow her to apologize? Because you have in your mind when she should do it, how she should do it, and she doesn't really know. She's just feeling your energy. She's feeling this disconnect because you are blocking her energy from flowing into yours. Because in your mind, I'm not accepting anything that you're doing or saying until you apologize to me. Come on, mother. We're mothers. We've got to be bigger than that. If you see her moving in that direction, that's an apology. She's apologizing with all that she knows. But she knows if I say something, you're going to come out with this whole spiel of, yes, but that's why, and so she don't want to get beaten up, so she's trying to do it in a way, but the mother cannot see that. But yet someone died. I mean, this young lady is very strong. And they went to this funeral this past week. And she said she bawled. She laid her head on my shoulder. She cried her heart out because it was someone that was close to both of them, but especially her, like a grandfather. And she felt the intimacy of their relationship. But yes, she still feels, with all of that, that was not an apology. See, there are words that are spoken verbally, and there are words that are spoken spiritually. Don't miss the spirit of love from your mother and daughter because you're waiting on verbal words. You may never get the verbal word because they may not know how to say it. Spiritual words is in the midst of the word love. A lot of times people will say, especially men, I just don't know how to say I love you. You know, and a lot of that comes from what? Not being intimate, seeing his father being intimate with his mother, or how his father treated other women, or, you know, you got a combination of things. And some people think if they say, I love you, that means that they're weak and, you know, now you're going to take advantage of me if I tell you I love you. And sometimes women, we do that. We find out he loves us. Okay, I got you hooked now, so we can just move on. I can drag you on down the line. But see, everybody just can't say I love you in words. If you have someone that brings you flowers, that takes you out to dinner, sit down and talk to you, listen to what you have to say, cuddle with you, tickle your toes, ask your opinion, giving good advice, and they never said, I love you, come on now. seen it. Stevie Wonder could see I love you out of that. We have to use godly wisdom, and that is within our spirit. You know the spirit of your daughter. You know the spirit of your mother because God already said it. As is the mother, so is the daughter. So if you're the mother and you're good, you know, I'm the mother, so I'm all of this and, you know, I'm good, well then, so is your daughter. Whatever you're cooking up inside, whatever you're doing, just know, as is your daughter, or God's a liar, you choose. I choose to believe as is the daughter. Because God is not a liar. So if something is out of order, either you believe God or not. Those are his words. As is the mother, so is the daughter. So that lets me know we as mothers have a great responsibility. God is going to look at us. He's going to, we're going to have to answer. We're going to have to answer as mothers for our daughters. And on top of that, you got to answer for yourself. My take on it, that's just the way I see it. Now, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. But if it don't fit, I always tell people, if it doesn't fit your spirit, if it doesn't touch you, then it's not for you. But I believe that the words are so plain and so simple. And see, that's why sometimes when we're reading books and we are getting into other people's biologies and biographies and theories on opinions, if you look, see, they'll get deep on you. It gets so deep that you got to go get the dictionary and the thesauruses and you got to look it up and then you got to go back and get something else. And the Bible is very simple. You only use that. You know it's connectedness. So is her daughter. I'll be right back. So I'm not going anywhere. I was trying to play the music for you. Thank you very much. God bless you. You have a great weekend, and I'll see you next Saturday, same time at 10 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio at the Roundtable with Mothers and Daughters from around the world. You have a blessed week. And remember, watch for that little I in the middle of love. Not the word, the letter I. The eye of the storm. That is your Holy Spirit. And live out of that.